Good morning. In our society, we tend to love it when the underdog wins. We like to see those giant upsets occur when a team or a person was not supposed to have a chance against another team or individual, and somehow they pull off the victory. Throughout our history in the United States, we've had a lot of great upsets. There is no way that our Continental Army should have defeated the Great British Army back in the 1700s. They were the most powerful army in the world. And our band of like misfit soldiers was able to defeat the Great British Army and secure our freedom. We also had Abraham Lincoln. He was not picked to win his election, but he beat William Seward and has become, or now, and got the chance to become one of the greatest presidents in our history. I remember this picture, not that Harry Truman was like a really big president, but I remember this picture from my social studies class where they had John Dewey winning the election and they put all these papers out with Dewey defeating Truman. But when they actually counted the votes, Truman had won. And that, you know, I thought that was pretty neat. There's Harry Truman showing the headlines that he lost when actually he became the next president. In the world of sports, Buster Douglas defeating Mike Tyson. I don't know if you remember that fight, but Buster Douglas was like a no one. He was a journeyman fighter, not really having a great record, but he on one night in Japan, he defeated the most feared boxer of that time, Mike Tyson. And who can forget the Miracle on Ice when all those college ice hockey players not only defeated the great Russian team, but they also went on to win the gold medal. And whenever there's these matchups of a really big favored or favorite over like an underdog, our society has borrowed a phrase from the Bible. This is a David versus Goliath matchup. And that's what we're going to look at today. David versus Goliath, more than just an upset. David was an unlikely choice for any greatness at all. He was the eighth son of Jesse. And usually the oldest son was pretty much in line for everything, maybe the second or third, but by the time you got to the eighth, who are you? And what are you doing in my house? Probably, you know, there was a long, long line there. And he was a shepherd, not a very highly esteemed job. But he came into prominence when Samuel anointed him as the next king of Israel, and we're going to read about that in a little bit. And he is also related to Jesus. If you look in Matthew 1, David and Jesse are all in the genealogy of our Lord. So this is the beginning of David's journey. David is chosen. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Jesse had seven sons. Seven of his sons passed before Samuel. But Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending the sheep." So the Lord sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So we have to ask ourselves, God looks on our insides. Do we? David, although he had the looks, probably all his other brothers had the looks too, but there was something about David's heart that led God to choose him to be the next king of Israel. There was something about David's heart or his faith that led God to him. So many people in our society are not given a chance because of their appearance or their age. Sometimes we look at how someone dresses and we say, man, that, you know, they're just not right for this. Or we look at someone's age, a real young person. They don't know what they're talking about. They're young. They don't know. They haven't had life experience. But as a teacher, I find that the young people sometimes read a situation better than me, or read people better than me. Or they're too old. They're over the hill. They're back in the past. They're not up on all the latest things. There's a lot of wisdom in older people, a lot of experience that we can use. So we have to ask ourselves, do we judge people before we even get to know them? Give us a chance to look on their insides instead of just their outsides? And so many people, if just given a chance, they might surprise us and shine. Isaiah did not paint a very good image of our Savior in Isaiah 53. If you read on how Isaiah describes our Savior, it's not very flattering. He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. That's Isaiah's description of our Savior. Nothing to look at here. We hid our faces from him. But that man who was nothing to look at gave us the greatest gift we'll ever receive: our salvation, our chance for heavenly, eternal life. We have to be really careful as Christians, and just as people in general, to not judge just by the outside appearance. And just think, what type of image are we giving off? And if people are just judging us by our outside appearance, would we be happy with what they see? Now, beginning the story of David Goliath, the challenge. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the Valley of Elah and drew up their battle lines to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with a valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. I looked that up. That's over 9 feet tall. He would have dwarfed the NBA players of today. He was a huge man. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you not come out and line up for a battle? Am I not a Philistine, or are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Every day we face our own giants. And they are challenging us, just like Goliath challenged the Israelites. We're facing our temptations. We're facing maybe health issues, job issues, family issues, relationships, and our own weaknesses. All those giants every day are coming out and challenging us. How do we face these giants each day? Paul writes in Philippians, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understandings, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." How do we face these giants? By turning them over to God, by asking for prayers, for turning the situations over to God, and he's going to give us the peace to face these giants and know that we can defeat them. The challenge is accepted. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go out and fight him." Saul replied, "You're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." So Saul wrote off David because of his age. But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord, who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." During our challenging times, do we remember what God has helped us to overcome already in our lives? You know what, God? You helped me to get that job when I had that tough interview. God, you already helped me through that first health scare that I had. You can surely help me get through this. God, you helped me through that loved one's funeral. You're going to help me as I face the death of another loved one. Or I have that tough conversation with a family member. You've gotten me, you helped me with the first conversation. Please help me with this one. We have to remember what our Lord has already helped us through. And that will help us to overcome any challenges that we face. David remembered, God helped me to kill a bear with my bare hands, to kill a lion with my bare hands. He's going to help me take care of this Philistine, no problem. God has gotten us through so much. He will help us through whatever faces us next. David reminds us in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. God is our strength. God is our refuge. Everything can be falling apart around us, but God is going to be with us, helping us to face and overcome our challenges. David met Goliath in the valley that was between the two armies. And I wonder if David remembered the battle that he had with Goliath when he wrote this in Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. David had many dark times in his life, and he believed that God was with him during his darkest hours. And he did not fear the outcome because he knew God was with him, and whatever the outcome was, that was the best thing according to God. Notice it doesn't say, you take away my valleys of death. It says, you're going to help me through those valleys of death. And I'm not going to fear what happens because you're with me. Our Savior had his own valley of death that he crossed. When he had finished praying, Jesus left with his disciples and crossed to Kidron Valley. On the other side, there was a garden, and he and his disciples went into it. Jesus crossed that valley that night knowing he was not coming back. He was crossing that valley, and he was going to face his death the next day. After he had his conversation and prayed to his Father in the garden, Jesus got up, knew his Father was with him, and bravely faced the next day's events. He did not fear the outcome. He knew his Father was with him. He knew he was doing his Father's will. And he knew the outcome was going to be our salvation. David and Jesus both went into their own valleys of death, and they feared no evil. Whenever we're facing our own valleys of death, the bad times that we're going to face, let's pray that we have that same outlook as David and Jesus. They're not fearing the evil because we know God is with us. David said to the Philistine, "You come out against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty and the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give you the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that this is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." When we face the giants in our lives, do we have that same faith that David said, or that David professed that day? God is on my side. I don't need the javelin. I don't need the sword. All I need is God. God is going to help me to face that next big valley in my life, that next giant that comes along. And when people say to us, "How are you going to manage?" Do we say, "With God's help," like David said that day? David said, "God's going to help me to defeat you." Do we say those same things when someone says, "How are you going to manage after your surgery? God's going to help me through. You got that big interview. How are you going to do with that? God's going to help me through. You have that big decision to make about the next step in your life. God's going to help me through." Whenever we face crisis, it gives us a great opportunity to let others know of our faith and let others know that God's going to help us through. And he's more than willing to help them through their valleys also. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran and stood over him. He took off the Philistine's sword and drew it from the sheath. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. Any of you impressed that he did this with one stone? And he was running, I think, at the time. And he just let that go. It doesn't say it took him like 3-4 shots. One shot and Goliath was down. That is very impressive. That's a sort of a side note, but that was really impressive. I'm not a hunter, but I don't know. Being able to do something with one shot, that's pretty good. But anyway, that day, David defeated Goliath, and the Israelite army then went on to defeat the Philistines. We have our own victory. Our victory over sin and death. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. David won victory for the Israelites that day. Our Lord and Savior won victory for us all through his death and resurrection. David set up the Israelites for greatness. Our Lord has set us up for salvation. David that day defeated the giant Goliath and won a victory for a nation. Our Lord and Savior won the victory over sin and death and gave us the chance to be with him forever. David was a great man, led the Israelites to victory. Our Lord and Savior is the greatest man ever, giving us the chance for heavenly eternal life. They both faced their giants with God's help and faith in our Heavenly Father. Let's pray that we do the same when we face our giants each day. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for the examples that you give us in the Bible of the great faith of King David and the great faith of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we have a victory over sin and death, and because of Jesus' death and resurrection, we're able to be with you forever. Please help us, Lord, to have the faith of David each day, to know that you're with us, to be aware of what you already helped us through, and to know that you'll help us through whatever valleys we face. Please help our faith to grow in you, Lord, and may we set an example and help others to find their way to you. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, the church extends the invitation to anyone who would like the prayers of the church or needs the help of the church. If anyone would like to be baptized to join God's family, you can come forward as we sing.